Good morning, everybody. Let's turn to Genesis 29. Genesis 29. Genesis 29 from the NASB. It says, "Then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the sons of the east. He looked and saw a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep were lying there beside it, for from that well they watered the flocks. Now the stone of the mouth of the well was large. When all the flocks were gathered there, they would then roll the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep and put the stone back in its place on the mouth of the well. Jacob said to them, 'My brothers, where are you from?' They said, 'We're from Haran.' He said to them, 'Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?' And they said, 'We know him.' And he said to them, 'Is it well with him?' They said, 'It is well. And here's Rachel, his daughter, coming with the sheep.' He said, 'Behold, it is still high day. It is not time for the livestock to be gathered. Water the sheep and go pasture them.' But they said, 'We cannot until all the flocks are gathered.' And they rolled a stone from the mouth of the well, then watered the sheep. While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. When Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob went up and rolled a stone from the mouth of the well and watered the flock of Laban's mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted his voice and wept. Jacob told Rachel that he was a relative of her father and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. So when Laban heard the news of Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. Then he related to Laban all these things. Laban said to him, 'Surely you are my bone and my flesh,' and he stayed with him a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, 'Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?' Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and face. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, 'I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel.' Laban said, 'It is better that I give her to you than to give her to another man. Stay with me.' So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, 'Give me my wife, for my time is completed, that I may go in to her.' Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. Now in the evening he took his daughter Leah and brought her to him, and Jacob went in to her. Laban also gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came about in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, 'What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served with you? Why then have you deceived me?' But Laban said, 'It is not the practice in our place to marry off the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also for the service which you shall serve with me for another 7 years.' Jacob did so and completed her week and gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. Laban also gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her maid. So Jacob went in and to Rachel also. Indeed, he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban another 7 years. Now the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah conceived and bore a son and named him Reuben, for she said, 'Because the Lord has seen my affliction, surely now my husband will love me.' Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, 'Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also.' So she named him Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, 'Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons.' Therefore he was named Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, 'This time I will praise the Lord.' Therefore she named him Judah, and she stopped bearing." Let's pray this morning. Lord, we just thank you for this story, this incredible love story, and we just ask for your blessing over this morning. As we gather to worship you, Lord, we just pray that you would reveal to us your heart and how you would like us to live. God, we just pray for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this is probably the most romantic love story like ever that I can think of or read about. Not that I've read a lot of romantic novels in my life or anything like that. I have nothing to base this on except for Korean dramas, which I haven't nearly seen that much. But this is quite incredible, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I just want to do sort of a play-by-play recap how we got to this place, and then we get to this place, and maybe you'll see some insight. So basically, at this point, Jacob has ruined his life. He has lied and stole. He has lied to his father. He stole the birthright from his older brother Esau. He stole the blessing from him. Now his older brother Esau is threatened to kill him. And so now Jacob is a refugee. He's running. And in chapter 28, in the previous chapter, we learn that he's a homeless guy sleeping on a rock, and he gets this dream from the Lord. He sees the stairway to heaven, and God makes this promise, hey, I'm going to fulfill my promise that I made to your grandfather, your father, and I'm going to do it through you, and I will be with you. And Jacob sets up an altar, Bethel, and he commemorates that, and he says, you'll be my God. And so they have this incredible interaction, right? The Lord speaks to him in a dream, confirms it. It's a real thing to him. And so now here we are in chapter 29. And the point I want to, what I want to point out to you is the fact that, look, in the chapter before, he has this encounter with God. It's a powerful encounter. It's this dream. He sees heaven. He sees God. God speaks to him clearly. So you would think, wow, I had this incredible encounter with God. Everything is going to be cool. Everything's going to be good. Everything is going to be great. You know, you can feel the encouragement. You could feel the hope. And then what happens in the next chapter? He falls in love, and then he is ready to marry Rachel, the object of his love. And then he gets screwed over. I mean, you know, he gets deceived by Laban. And on his wedding day, he's expected to consummate the marriage with Rachel. And then Laban, the father-in-law, switches it around. And so he ends up sleeping with Leah, the sister, instead of the one he loves. I mean, it's just quite a shock. I mean, you know, you've been dating this person for 7 years, you know, working hard, and then you're like so excited. You walk up to the altar, you do the ceremony, you know, you go to the hotel room for your honeymoon day, and then, you know, you do your business, and then you wake up in the morning and it's not Rachel. It's like, it's Leah. It's like, what, you know, crazy drama. And then he has to work for, you know, Rachel for another 7 years, so 14 years, you know. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. And so what I want to point out to you is that in the chapter before, he has this encounter with God, this powerful encounter, and you would expect that, oh man, this is going to be great. My life is great. God spoke to me. You know, I'm ready for a new start, a new life. And then right away, everything is screwed up. Everything is just messed up. Everything is just, you know, it's just so crazy circumstantially. And you're going to see a theme of this throughout Genesis and throughout Scripture, where God speaks to his people, and you would expect, yeah, God, it's going to be awesome. And then right away, things get screwed up, right? And you look at the story of Joseph, right? He has a dream where all his brothers would, bow down to him, and that he would rule over his family. Great! And then he goes into prison twice. And his life is just screwed up. Even Jesus, I mean, you look at him and he gets baptized, heaven's open, the voice comes down, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And then he's driven into the desert and he's tempted by Satan and he's, you know, hungry. And it's just like, what the heck? You know, I just had this incredible encounter with the Father and now, like, you know, I'm getting all of these attacks and things like that. But I want you to see this theme that this happens in life. And so don't be surprised that, you know, after an incredible SP retreat or an incredible weekend or, you know, something, you know, powerful, a great AMP or whatever, and you feel so blessed and encouraged, and you should. Don't be surprised when, you know, the next things that happen is like, what, you know, your circumstances are falling apart. It's like, what's going on? God, I thought you promised. I thought I just had this lovely encounter with you. And then how come my life is going crazy? Right away, the lesson here is don't give up on the promises of God. Don't give up on the word of God. God is going to fulfill his promises. He said he's going to do it through Jacob, and he's going to do it. But here, there's some lessons to be learned, and this chapter is incredible. There's so many points of view that we could, you know, learn from this. We could, you know, the common thing is to take the point of view of Leah and how she totally got screwed over. This is like messed up. And then it's like, you know, so she's married to this man, doesn't love her. And it's like, okay, I'm gonna do everything I can to make my husband love me. So I'm gonna bear him, you know, sons. In fact, you know, 4 sons at this point. And it's like, surely after 4 sons and the other girl, has none, surely he'll love me more. But, you know, he doesn't, the Bible says. And so it's just really crazy. But let's go into this love story, and it's an incredible story. I mean, depending on your perspective, I guess, depending on how hurt you've been, this is either so romantic or this makes you want to roll your eyes and throw up because it's like, oh my gosh, give me a break, you know. Met her, weeps, come on, this is ridiculous. But in any case, it is an amazing thing, and I was reading it in the Message Bible through Eugene Peterson, and because of his description, it became even more romantic. And I remember growing up, for many years as a single person, you know, thinking, this is the way I want my my love story to be. I'm gonna try to find my Rachel. I'm gonna find, you know, I'm gonna meet her, and then I'm gonna just weep and just be like, oh my gosh, this is from the Lord. You know, I would do anything. I'd work, you know, 14 years for her. I'm gonna wait. You know, and all that stuff. I was reading from Eugene Peterson, the Message Bible, and he describes the whole well incident as something just even more romantic. And so here's the situation, right? Here's the flocks from Laban's camp, and Jacob meets them, and it's like, hey guys, you know, what are you guys doing? How come you're not, you know, watering your flocks? How come you're not feeding them water? What's going on? And they said, well, you know, there's this well, and there's a stone on top of it. And Eugene Peterson describes it as it takes a lot of men because it's so heavy to roll it away. And so the best thing to do is just wait for all the flocks to get here. You know, Rachel, well, there's one more flock with Rachel's going to bring. And so once everyone gets here, all of us guys, we're going to, you know, move the stone. We're going to feed, you know, water our sheep, and then we're going to put the stone back because, you know, that's what we do. And so we're just going to wait till all the flocks get here, all the sheep get here. And so, okay, great. Rachel comes, love at first sight, you know, he weeps. And then the next description that Eugene Peterson says, that is here, but it's not that descriptive. It says that Jacob single-handedly takes the stone and rolls it away, feeds the, waters the sheep, and single-handedly puts the stone back on the well. And I'm like, dang, this guy is... Dude, pretty, wow, that's awesome, you know, right? This, what takes, you know, many men to do it, he single-handedly does it. And I suppose if I was a woman seeing this, knowing this, I'd be like, wow, he is so strong. And I was, wow, he's amazing. You know, I can see that. And so, you know, having read that, you know, this morning, I'm like, man, this is even more romantic than I thought, you know. And so, so he sees her, kisses her, and just the passion of that kiss, you know, probably just on the cheek, not even, you know, on the lips, just that passion of that kiss on the cheek causes him to weep. Like, it's like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing, and things like that. And so he's like, you know what, I'll do anything for her, I'll work, you know. And so he has his plan, and he goes into the house of Laban, and he's already working a month or so or whatever. And then, you know, he's like, you know what, I want your daughter, which happens to be, you know, his first cousin, which kind of ruins the image here. It's kind of, you know, I'm falling in love with my cousin. But in any case, that's how it was back then. And so so Laban's all, okay, so what do you think, Jacob, is the price? And Jacob offers this price. You know, he's the one that says, 7 years, I'll work 7 years, you know, I don't know. For me, I was just like, oh, you know, maybe a month, 2 months, 6 months, you know, maybe a year. He's like, no, I'll work 7 years. It's like, whoa, okay, great. Well, I'm willing to wait 7 years. So, and so he loves her, and then we have this switcheroo, and it's obvious that, you know, that there's some reaping and sowing happening, you know, that this great deceiver who deceives his family gets the end. He's a recipient of being deceived. And so, you know, you could say that's the consequences of his deception, consequences of his sin. That's what he deserves, and that's what he gets. And so in verse 20, you know, Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him only a few days because of his love for her. Aw, that's so sweet, right? I'm going to, you know, try to use that line, you know, somehow for your significant other. You know, just, I've been waiting for you, but it just seemed like a few days, you know, just beautiful. Anyways, and so so then he ends up sleeping with Leah, and then he's really surprised, and he's upset and things like that, and then he still wants to marry Rachel, and so Laban says, well, then you're going to have to work 7 years, another 7 years. So a total of 14 years for the one that he loves. I wrestled with, you know, how is this possible? How is that Jacob was not able to know that it was Leah, not Rachel? How is that possible? I mean, and so looking up, you know, all the scholarly commentaries, there's a lot of theories out there. You know, there's the idea that that Jacob understood that Esau was, you know, the oldest, and Leah was the oldest, and so there was a deal that Esau was supposed to marry Leah, and he was supposed to marry Rachel anyway, and, you know, that he felt like, look, I stole his birthright, I stole the blessing, I'm not going to steal his rightful spouse, and so I'm going to marry Rachel instead of Leah. But then we saw that in the previous chapter that Esau married someone else, and so Laban is thinking, okay, well, that plan is out the window, and so I'm going to do a switcheroo and things like that. And so there's a lot of different theories, you know, that it was dark and, you know, they're heavily veiled. And so, and there's another theory that they were actually twins, Leah and Rachel. And so, you know, their voices were similar, you know, their body types are similar. There's theories that, you know, because it was a wedding, you know, he's drunk and, you know, just he didn't really realize anything and things like that. So whatever the case, I don't know. And I guess it really doesn't matter in the long run how this happened, but it happened. But we see the object of his love. And we see that he's willing to work 14 years. And there's a couple takeaways before, you know, for this morning is that, number one, is there a Laban in your life that you feel like is screwing you over? The important part of the story is Laban and what he did and the circumstances around that. And so sort of a takeaway or sort of an application is that, is there a Laban in your life that you feel like is just screwing you over? Maybe it's a employer or family member or a friend or things like that. And, you know, is there someone who's maybe cheating you, lying to you, not being honest, who's testing your patience and things like that? You know, maybe your boss, your spouse, your child, or, you know, maybe your pastors. You know, the natural reaction is to say, God, you know, get me out of this situation, and that's fine. Or another reaction is to run and to give up. You know, hence you have your change of jobs and divorces and change of churches and anything to get away from the situation. But you notice that Jacob didn't give up, and he didn't say, "Screw this." He said, "You know, I'll work another 7 days, 7 years for Rachel." And so one thing to take away is that maybe this is a reflection of how we've been to other people. Have we been acting in this manner? Have we done the same thing to other people? And so maybe we can appreciate the patience and the forgiveness that God has given us. And if God can use this uncle to usher in, and you'll see the result later, the 12 sons of Jacob, and his name will be changed later to Israel, that if God can use this situation, this Laban who screwed up everything, this injustice, this, you know, whatever's been messed up, if God can use that to bring in 12 sons, to now these 12 sons being the 12 tribes of Israel, if God can use this horrible situation, that 14 years of work is now going to be redeemed, that it's going to be purposeful, it's going to be used by God. It's that Romans 8:28 that God causes good to cause all things to be good for those who love him. If you can see that in your situation, if you can hold on to that chapter Genesis 28 dream, the stairway to heaven, if you can hold on to that, then you're able to walk through these difficulties. And Jacob, I mean, he's receiving the consequences of his deception by being deceived himself. He's reaping what is sowing. And for you and I, we may blow it big time. We may mess up and fail big time. But God is going to still accomplish his purposes. And though I don't have much time to continue talking about this love story, but the final takeaway that I want to share is this, that Jacob kept his focus on the object of his love. He kept his focus through all of this nonsense, through all of this ridiculous stuff, through all of this, he never lost focus on the object of his love, Rachel. He didn't look at the 7 additional years of labor as a discouragement. He didn't see the injustice of his father-in-law as a discouragement. He didn't see the circumstances. He didn't see the consequences of his sin. He didn't take these things. He didn't lose sight of the object of his love, Rachel. And so the parallel that I see for this morning, as I invite Eunice to come, the parallel I see is that for us as believers, in that same way as Jacob loved Rachel, and Rachel was the object of his love, so too is the desire of our hearts, or you know, that we can have, is may the Lord Jesus Christ, may God be the object of our love. That though there is injustice in our life, that though there is complications in our life, though there are difficulties in our lives, though people have screwed us over, though people have upset us and made us angry and made life difficult for us, though we have so many people to blame and so many circumstances to blame, may we never take our eyes off of the object of our love. May we be able to say to our Lord that, you know what, it's been a long time going through this stuff. But it just seems like a few days because I'm so in love with you, God. You know, this is a great love story, but the greater love story is the love story that God has with his people. And this is just as romantic and as wonderful as this is, it's just a small fraction of the love story that God has with his people. Of how much God loves us. And so may we see this chapter through those eyes, not just of Jacob and Rachel and their love story, but the love story that God has with us. And so let's meditate on that and let's reflect on that as we bow our heads and pray. Father, it's amazing what you can do with our lives. And so many times, as we're sitting in the injustice of our circumstance and situation, the pain and the sorrow of our discouragement, Lord, you still love us. And God, what seems like such a long time, may it be just like a few days, because your love is so great. May we have that same kind of love. That same kind of love that dramas are written for and movies are made for. But God, your love is greater. Your love is stronger. And God, you sustain us. And so, Lord, we honor you and we worship you. We thank you, God. Found me in Thank you, Lord. It's very apparent that Jacob wanted Rachel so badly, and we can only speculate some of the reasons why that was the case. Maybe he realized that she was the only one. There's no other options. There's no one else. Maybe this is his last shot, his only chance. That could be a reason, and maybe for us with God, that's what we have to realize, that maybe God is all we have. He's our only shot. He's our last chance. Maybe we need to be in that place. Bible talks about how Rachel was beautiful, and maybe that was the reason why he wanted her so badly. And maybe we need to see how much more beautiful our Jesus is, who gave his life for us. For whatever reason, Jacob wanted Rachel so badly, and may that be the desire of our heart, that we want God so badly, and we're so in love with him that though we are going through fire, though we're going through tough circumstances, though we're going through lack of happiness or content in our careers and our lives or stage where we're at in life, may we be so in love with God that it just seems, though it was a long time, and maybe you're waiting, you've waited and you're waiting for a very long time for something to happen, that it doesn't matter because we're so in love with God that it just seems like a few days. Because in the end, God will fulfill the plans and the promises that He has for you. And so let's cultivate that today. Let's ask the Lord God, I want to just love You so much, and we thank You that You love us that much, and just have that encounter with Him this morning. So let's do that. Instead of our intercession for community, and encourage you to do that if that's what you wish. But we're just going to sort of leave it open this morning. I'm just going to have the music play in the background, and maybe just soak in that. Just maybe this morning you don't say any words. Maybe you don't pray prayers of intercession, but you just ask the Lord and allow the Lord to reveal His beauty to you, and that maybe you just meditate upon your relationship with Him and your love for Him. Maybe you ask the Lord to rekindle that fire, that flame of passion and love for God this morning. Because without that, it's going to be difficult to go through 7 years, 14 years of injustice, of work and toiling. It's going to be difficult to go through the difficult relationships that you have in your life unless you have that love and passion for God, who is the deliverer, the one who saves. You're going to be confused, and you're going to be just discontent with what God is doing, and you're not able to see that He has a plan. And so let's cultivate that relationship with the Lord. And so let me just close this with a prayer. And if you do want to continue to pray for those who are sick, our staff will be happy to give you the slides and things like that. But Lord, we just ask that You would come now, and we ask that You would, we just want to hear from Your voice, Lord, and we just want to do what You're doing, God. And so, Lord, we just pray this morning that You would just fill us with Your love, that we would be filled with passion for You again. Remind us of just how incredible Your love is. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.